The opinions expressed on Breaking News Bears are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Breaking News Bears podcast. I'm your host, Chris Capone, joined alongside Evan Davis. Now, Evan, one of the teams with the most disappointing offseasons by far this year has to be the Toronto Blue Jays. Missing out on Ohtani obviously hurts, but what are your thoughts on Ross Atkins' moves this offseason slash lack thereof?
I don't think he should show his face in Toronto for the next couple of months. Like, what a disappointing offseason after you promised your fans the possibility of a Juan Soto or a Shohei Ohtani. Now, obviously, you weren't going to match the Dodgers' offer for Ohtani. Like, when you, it just wasn't going to happen the way that, we talk about it in our legal class, the way that the CBA works. The Dodgers were financially able to do it. But when you look at a guy like Juan Soto, I mean, the Blue Jays, they had the prospects, I feel like, to make a deal. It's a matter of if did Ross Atkins want to get rid of Ricky Tiedemann, because you feel like that's a headliner, and Ricky Tiedemann arguably the best left-handed pitching prospect. So, do you want to give up him for Soto? Pitchers I value more than hitters. But overall, very disappointing offseason for the Blue Jays. But as a Blue Jays fan yourself, I'd love to also hear your thoughts.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously there were lots of talks surrounding the Blue Jays this offseason. There was talks about Cody Bellinger, even Jorge Soler, and just not able to get a single notable power bat. It's a bad offseason knowing that the lineup is basically the same, but we lost Matt Chapman and replaced him with Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Sure, you got Justin Turner, but he's 39, and I know he just came off a career year this past year, but still, he's 39, and he's only going to fill the DH role, which, that's a good role to fill, but I feel like that role could have been filled with somebody who's much more of a power bat, somebody like a Jorge Soler.
Yeah, I didn't even. And when you look at Soler's contract and even Bellinger's, but I feel like Bellinger was always going to stay in Chicago. I didn't think he'd want to make another move, go to a third team in 3 years. That's just a lot, especially when you have a family and everything. But when you look at a guy like Jorge Soler, I think he only got like 3 years, 50 million, if that. Like, it wasn't a crazy, crazy deal. He got a 3 year, $42 million contract with a $9 million signing bonus, and it's a backloaded salary. So I don't get why the Blue Jays weren't looking at a guy like Soler. I think that's someone you can easily slot in the fifth or sixth spot of your lineup, because the one thing about the Blue Jays is, although they have a lot of talent, it's a very top-heavy roster, in the sense that if you get any production from your seven through nine hitters, it's a bonus. But when you're in such a competitive division that has the Orioles and that has the Yankees as well, you need a complete lineup, and a guy like Jorge Soler could have filled in that sixth spot that was occupied by Chapman.
Yeah, it just really seems odd because they gave Justin Turner a 1-year deal worth 13 million, and that's almost what Jorge Soler was making or is going to be making for the next 3 years with the Giants. And seeing that as a power bat that wasn't able to be signed because Ross Atkins either didn't want a slight long-term commitment to a player like that. It's just odd to seeing that he would rather have Justin Turner fill that DH role than somebody who can give you 30 home runs in a season, despite the batting average being a little bit lower.
Are the Blue Jays looking at next offseason as well? This offseason was a little weird in the sense that, like, it was gold level talent, like A++ talent. But then after that, it kind of fell off. And if you look at next offseason, there are a lot of pitchers that are available. That's something that the Blue Jays might want to find a third starter in. But you also still have some power bats that are going to be there. Juan Soto's obviously going to be there, and maybe the Blue Jays felt as though maybe instead of giving up prospects, we can find a way to sign him to the contract that we were hoping for. A guy like Josh Bell is also going to most likely be available next year. He opted into his second year of the contract with the Marlins. There's a lot of interesting names out there. Willy Adames, you could definitely use him as a platoon guy as well. So maybe the Blue Jays are viewing it as, look, it was hard to get the top three guys, but then after that, it was kind of a drop off. If, like, it's an offensive standpoint, a lot of guys wanted to stay with their team. So I don't give Ross Atkins hate on that, but just the fact that the expectations, you set the bar way too high for what you ended up getting. And I think that's why fans are a little irate and upset by what had happened, because the rumor mill was spinning, but nothing to come.
Yeah, like personally, I would have rather had like no rumors at all surrounding the fact that the Blue Jays could have gotten an Ohtani or Soto, because then at least you aren't built up to have, hope at that point.
No, but like one of the things we talk about, especially with like the CBA and everything, is that the games in Canada don't count towards like the MLB, like with ESPN, MLB, TV deals. So when you look at it from the Blue Jays perspective, like yes, they probably did have 600 million. I'm sure MLSE had enough money and Rogers had enough money to pay Ohtani. The problem when you look at it between them and the Dodgers is the fact that the Dodgers TV deal is just so lucrative. That, I mean, respectfully, this 700 million that they're going to be paying over the next 20 years, it's going to clean up. It's going to be gone like that. Like they're going to make that money back so quickly with sponsorships and TV deals and TV revenue that they were able to, muster up to what Ohtani really wanted. And I think that's a real disadvantage of the Blue Jays being the only Canadian baseball team is the fact that like the TV deals are built different here. Like here in Toronto, because of the way that it works with like ESPN and other networks.
Yeah, like there's never any ESPN games that actually broadcast the Blue Jays, because Sportsnet has that deal with the Blue Jays specifically to broadcast their games. And the only games that they aren't broadcasting with is on Apple TV, and that's a whole different thing about the MLB. One other thing is, as an outside fan, like not a Blue Jays fan, do you believe there's an issue that there hasn't been any long-term extensions for like either Bo Bichette or Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
I don't really look much into that because you look at the New York Mets, they're still trying to figure out with Pete Alonso. And I'm always like, as someone who I always like support the players, if Bo Bichette and Vladdy want to see what their market looks like, I feel like they've earned that respect to be able to do so. But also, it's just look like Vladdy just went through arbitration with the Jays. Like, if the Jays wanted to sign him long term, they would have forgot this last year of arbitration and just said, hey, we'll give you your 10-year contract to stay with the Jays. But look, if you're Vladdy, I mean, no offense to the Jays, hasn't been much playoff success lately. This is a guy who's built for October. And a guy like Bo Bichette, shortstop markets are so hard because, you see Corey Seager, who rightfully so got that, I think it was like 12 years, $275 million or $325 million contract with the Rangers. But outside of that, like you're really not seeing shortstops get paid an insane amount. Like besides Seager and Turner, like I can't really think of shortstops that make a ton of money. So maybe Bo Bichette is thinking like, hey, maybe I want to see what's out there, because shortstops are such a premium position as well as first base that maybe these guys just want to use other teams as leverage to stay in Toronto, but just get more money out of the Jays.
Coming straight out of arbitration, the Jays really could have offered Vladdy literally anything and still wanted to pay him less in terms of the arbitration deal. So they either just wanted to get another year out of him at a relatively cheaper than market value.
You look at it like Vladdy still has this year of arbitration and next year of arbitration. So if you're the Jays, like, why would you? The only time we've really seen a player get bought out of his arbitration was Bobby Witt Jr. and Fernando Tatis.
Those kinds of positions in the field are a lot more. Tatis plays outfield and had played shortstop, and then Bobby Witt plays shortstop. That's much more of a lucrative position to be playing, that teams want to pay more just to have that security in that. One question I wanted to ask is, seeing as Blake Snell is still currently a free agent, do you think there's any way the Jays could look at this fifth starter spot left open for Alek Manoah's injury and think, you know what, screw it, we can give him like a 1-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the deal is with Blake Snell. I know why the Yankees haven't signed him, and that's just because like the luxury tax. Like that's why the Yankees and Dodgers are two teams that no way in heck they sign Blake Snell, just because a $30 million deal turns into an $80 million deal when you look at the luxury tax implications. I'm kind of surprised the Jays haven't called. Like, Alek Manoah still hasn't gotten to throwing yet. You know, the season's starting soon. I mean, obviously Blake Snell hasn't gotten into a game yet. He's just doing like on-field training, but like he's just throwing against like random guys. I don't, you look at the Jays pitching rotation, I'm not like complete outside of Gausman and Kikuchi. I mean, who are you really relying on here? I could totally see Blake Snell getting like a 1 year, $30 million contract from the Blue Jays. And then you have like a solid 1-2-3 punch heading in to the season. And Blake Snell's a guy who's very, very familiar within this division and within this league. Why don't you throw something his way? I've always wondered that.
Yeah, like seeing the recent rumors of apparently the Astros are looking into signing Blake Snell because of the amount of injuries they've had to their starting rotation. I was just thinking as it's better just to have him signed than have him go somewhere else in the American League. Like having him go to Houston, that's terrible for like any other team wanting to really contend, unless you're the Yankees or somebody that has immense amount of like talent in their lineup. That amount of pitching depth for the Astros would be astro funny enough, astronomical. Like
Yeah,
that
no
would
pun
be
intended.
unprecedented.
I don't know if it necessarily would be unprecedented just because they have so many injuries themselves. Like Jose Urquidy, I believe, just had like some forearm issues. Obviously, Justin Verlander had a setback. The Astros need Blake Snell, not just as like an insurance. Like, no, they need, like, their starting pitching rotation hasn't been this like bad, if you can say. Honestly, maybe in the last 6 years, like they've always been a top rotation in the major leagues. Now you have like Hunter Brown in there, Framber Valdez, who was phenomenal last year. I think the most quality starts in the majors. So Valdez goes in as your one, but then outside of that, you really don't have much, and you just spent so much money on Josh Hader that you kind of are setting yourself up that you might give Blake Snell that 1 year deal, but it's not just as a luxury, it's a necessity.
Like really just trying to I one up the Astros just to make sure he doesn't go to another American League team. If he goes to the NL, that's fine. Like if he goes to a team like the Giants, that's fine. Or if even if he goes to a team like the Angels, I don't mind if he goes to a lower end team just to get his money. But as long as he doesn't sign with a contender in the AL, that's another thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think I would love for the Blue Jays to sign him just because you look at their pitchers going in and it's just not looking the greatest right now. But Jordan Montgomery too, like this is a guy as well that we didn't talk about, but like someone who also has yet to be signed. And what I've been hearing, as if I'm not an insider, but like just what people like Ken Rosenthal and stuff have been saying, is the fact that the Rangers haven't signed him because they don't know what their TV deal is going to look like still. So they don't know if they could pay Jordan Montgomery the 150, 175 million that he rightfully earned during the postseason. And honestly, ever since he got traded to the Rangers. So I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what Scott Boras is necessarily waiting for. I mean, these are two pitchers you expected to be signed early. And now it's kind of just like, oh, you know, what are we doing here?
I mean, yeah, regular season games start technically this week, but still, it's another crazy thing to think technically the season's gonna start and there's two top-end free agents still available. I forgot to mention one of the most important additions to the Blue Jays this past offseason. They added cup holders to the 100 level.
Finally. I mean, I don't have the money for the 100s. I usually just buy the $10 tickets up in the 500s, but hey, look, claps.
That's crazy that this team had like such expensive tickets for 100 level and didn't even have cup holders. Like how do you go that long? I know like they skimped over it in the renovations last year. So how do you
Yeah,
go
because
another full year and like we forgot the cup holders?
I don't know. That's crazy. Like, they're actually at Dodger Stadium, too. There are some sections that, like, don't have cup, like, the outfield, no cup holders at all. And, you know, it's a little annoying. Like, yeah, the tickets are cheaper, but Why do I have to, worry about knocking over my drink? And,
Yeah.
maybe that's what all the money, all the Shohei money went to is are these new cup holders.
Yeah, 'cause like having your drinks on the ground just leads to a lot more people, when they're scooching by trying to get to their own seat, you run that risk of having your stuff falling over. And that's the worst thing about it. 'Cause then it's like, oh, I gotta go buy another one.
Yeah, we'll tell Shohei when he comes to Toronto late April that, hey, look, your money is in those seats right
Yeah.
there.
It just got evenly distributed among every person in the stadium. It's all there.
I will say, like, as someone who is like an outsider, like the Rogers Centre is a little unimpressive, I guess, to like what I'm accustomed to seeing with Dodger Stadium. I feel like they gotta find more ways to make it a little more modern. It's definitely a stadium that feels a bit outdated, but now that they're doing these renovations this come like this summer and then more renovations next summer, it'll be interesting to see how it all looks. I don't think I went to a Jays game when it was all renovated.
You didn't miss out on much last year.
Yeah, I heard.
Like,
Oh, you know what? I did go to a game. It looks a lot nicer now. Like, it's definitely
yeah.
progressing.
I know they changed a lot of the seats in the 500 level. They replaced them because I know there was like a dump somewhere in Toronto where they had all of the 500 level seats just like piled up in a big mountain.
Sorry, I just saw this on my phone, like backtracking to the Blake Snell thing. Per Bob Nightingale, Blake Snell has told the Houston Astros that he's willing to sign a short-term deal to join them, but he wants at least a 2-year guarantee for $66 million with an opt-out after the 2024 season. Now, I feel like that's more Scott Boras saying that to the
Yeah.
Astros because as experienced baseball fans like ourselves, we know that Scott Boras loves his opt-outs.
Yeah.
But that's
Yeah.
interesting. And that seems like the AAV that he should be like circling around, like around that area. But my whole thing with Blake Snell and why teams might be hesitant to sign him is he walks a lot of batters, led the major leagues in walks by 8. And outside of his Cy Young seasons, which was 2019 and then this past season, he hasn't been like uber impressive to warrant a $30 million contract. Like, if you look at his ERA between 2020 and 2022, I guess it would be, it's up in the fours or high threes. So, like, if you're a team, a pitcher like that usually gets like 20 to 22, 25 million. So, a team's probably just wondering, like, what truly is his value? But I feel like for a guy like Blake Snell, there never really is an overpay. It's just the fact that he walks so many batters. And like, how like some pitchers, it's a 3-1 count. They might throw a fastball up down the middle or at least like on a like dot a corner. Like Blake Snell will still throw a slider, which is why teams might be reluctant.
The talent is obviously there. It's just the amount of money. And I think that leak of, what did they say, 66 million for 2 years?
Like 2 years, it's really like a 1 year
33
deal, and we'll
million.
see like how much is in each year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's just Scott Boras leaking that to tell other teams, hey, we're currently at this right now, but we want a little bit more plus an opt out.
It's just hard. Like teams might not want an opt out. Like it makes more sense for an opt out like to be, maybe it's a 3-year deal with an opt out after the second year. But
Yeah.
then why are you going through all this stress just to know that if Blake Snell outplays his contract, he's going to want more money, which he probably will. It's weird. Like, I wrote an article for a site and I thought like Blake Snell would have been perfect in Atlanta, but then they obviously signed Chris Sale. But at the time, I thought I had Blake Snell 5 years, 155 to the Atlanta Braves. I just, you have Max Fried as a left-handed ace, but you didn't really have a second one. So I thought that would have made a lot of sense. Maybe Atlanta circles back on it, but you already have Chris Sale, so, and you just locked him up too. So it doesn't really make sense. A team like the Baltimore Orioles, I thought, should go after one of Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery, especially with new management, new owners that actually are willing to spend money and build a team, hence the Corbin Burns trade. But maybe it's kind of like, hey, let's settle down. Let's see if we can re-up on Burns. Because the last thing you want to do is pay two starting pitchers like a stupid amount of money.
Yeah, All this just for Blake Snell to sign with the Angels is gonna be funny.
Dude, I mean, if he signs with the Angels, like, I wouldn't hate it just because at least he's not going to a contender, but I would hate it and I wouldn't hate it because I want to see Blake Snell pitching in October.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of just like, I love how that's the screw you, because he honestly, like, at some point, the player has to be the man and just say, hey, agent, I want to sign here, and like,
Yeah.
stop telling teams that I don't.
I feel like the Angels are going to be that one team that'll play, they'll say, screw it, we'll pay 40 million for, or like 2 years,
It
80
just
million.
doesn't make sense. Well, apparently, like, I saw an article that says Artie Moreno doesn't even want to sign him. And like, if you're the Angels, like, you already have Rendon at like 130 something million over the next 3 years. Like, obviously Mike Trout makes his well-deserved money, and you stupidly traded away all these prospects for Giolito and Reynaldo Lopez just to cut
Waive
them.
them, yeah.
Like, they just need an identity check. And like, honestly, the prospects that they traded weren't much. Like, I don't know how much help they really would have been. The Angels farm system is pretty weak as it is, but I think they kind of just need to like take a breath and just say, hey, look, like, we bid on Rendon. Obviously, you're going to pay Mike Trout. He's the only reason fans show up to a game. We just lost Ohtani, and the reports were that they were never going to match that offer. So I don't know. It's interesting to see. I would love one of Jordan Montgomery or Blake Snell to be in it in Baltimore. I know as a Jays fan, you would hate it, but Baltimore has such a weak pitching rotation that it would just make all the sense in the world for them to sign one of those guys. And then if I'm doing an American League team, I guess I'll do a National League team as well. The Chicago Cubs makes so much sense too to get one of these guys. I mean, you gave Craig Counsell so much money to be your manager. You just signed Shota Imanaga. You signed Cody Bellinger. I think it makes so much sense to get one of those guys. Then you would have Steele, Imanaga, and then one of Montgomery or Snell in such a weak division that's so up for grabs. It makes so much sense.
But yeah, that'll do it, just about do it for this episode of the Breaking News Bears podcast. I want to thank Evan Davis once again for giving his illustrious opinions, and we will all see you all next time. Thank you once again for listening.